the situation in our country. There's a corruption of socialism, as you all well know, if you have even taken 5 minutes to watch reliable news sources. But there's a corruption of socialism that's endeavoring to take over our country. And from a biblical perspective, it's dead wrong. And I want you to understand that it only takes the power of a few to turn the tide of the many. That's always been the case. A couple people standing and praying can turn the tide of any situation. You can go through the Bible and find this over and over and over again. Many times it was only one person. Sometimes it was a couple. But it doesn't need to be more than that. But I ask you to pray for our country so that the devilishness that's endeavoring to flow into our very homes is stopped. We can't afford it. We can't put up with it. It's wrong. It's contrary to the foundational principles upon which this country was built. And so I ask you to pray every day that the tide changes, that these people in power that basically are, in my opinion, cohorts with Satan, are not allowed to move forward. They're socialists, they're communists, and other off-the-wall agendas are not allowed to be pushed. If you don't, it's your generation that will suffer. You're the one that's going to have to pay for it. And I'd like to say something else. Even though we all wish that things would never change, that everything was like it was 30 years ago, there's a fundamental truth that you need to understand. With every new generation comes the need to once again fight for liberty. It changes with every generation. In other words, you are living off of the freedoms of the past generation. But your generation is at stake. And if you don't fight for the freedom in your generation, you will lose it. And as you have your children and future children, they too need to learn this truth, that with the advent of their generation comes the necessity to once again drive in the stakes and fight for freedom. And don't think for a moment that that will change. It never has. Every generation faces this. And we are now facing it ourselves. The generation of freedom is past. Now we have to reassert ourselves and say, no, wait a minute. We still want freedom. It's our time to fight. And there's many things you could do. I'm not going into that. But the first thing you do is you pray. And don't think for a moment that your prayers are unneeded. Don't think for a moment that if you just sit around and watch it, that everything's going to be okay. It won't be okay. You have to stand upon what you believe is right, and you say it, you speak it, and you take the opportunities to proclaim it. And if there's anything you could ever do to get in there and work the rules of freedom within government and that type of practical aspect, you should. In other words, vote against the enslavement of taxes. Vote against the enslavement of this healthcare fiasco, which isn't healthcare at all. It's basically the government taking over 1/7 of our economy. And don't say that's good. It's not good. They can't run anything. And I know I'm using this platform to speak against things that maybe I shouldn't be, but I just want you to understand that if you don't speak up, you're going to wish you had one day. And the next generation is going to go through the same thing. You can't just lay in bed and say it's all going to go away. Okay? The next thing I want to talk about is abundant sharing. And if you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm going to read something to you. I'm just going to let the word speak for itself. But we have a ministry called the Richardson Biblical Research Ministry, or Richardson Biblical Research Center, and we need your abundant sharing. We have basic needs that have to be covered on a monthly basis. And we endeavor to bring forth all the things that you see in here on the website and in these meetings and so forth, and the support that goes on behind the scenes all the time, so that you can be blessed with God's word. And I don't see anybody saying I don't want that. But I'm saying what we need is your abundant sharing, because it's faltering, and that's wrong. It's just like if you want freedom, you've got to fight for it. And if we want this ministry, we got to fight for it. We've got a new generation of thinking here that you don't have to abundantly share, or that, oh, it's not that big of a need. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It is a big need. And the word is very clear about it, and it's our responsibility collectively to ensure that this word comes to pass. So I'm asking you to pay attention to the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10. Now, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do so, but also to be forward a year ago. Abundant sharing cycles. Last year we didn't have any problem with it. The year before we did. This year we're starting to have problems with it again. And Paul had the same situation with the believers back there, and he spoke the word. This is what God told him to say. He goes, come on, I'm going to just tell you something, guys. And this is very important for you. It's expedient for you. You used to do this. Who begun before? Not only to do, but also to be forward. You were very aggressive, assertive about it. Verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. If you don't start, you'll never start. But once you've started, you want to increase it. Our ministry needs a minimum of around $2,200 a month to live. We need that money. And right now we're existing on about $1,500, which means there's a lot of needs that are going unmet. And that's wrong. And what I'm asking you, if we have 30 people, what is that, $75 a month? It doesn't take much to abundantly share. It's really not a lot of money at all if people spread it out. Right now, there's only a few people that are taking the lion's share of it. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying it just doesn't seem right. Okay? And I ask you to really take this to heart. If you don't abundantly share on a regular basis, perhaps you would think about this. Make the decision to start. And make it a priority. God's word and the things of God in our life have got to be the greatest priority that there is. It just has to be that way. And if you don't believe that, you need to change. You need to do something with your core system of belief that causes an alteration within. Because God's not going away. God's always number one. Whether you believe it or not, whether your friends believe it or not, doesn't matter. God is always number one. And He always wants to be number one. Now, our God's a jealous God. He's always been a jealous God. He doesn't want anything getting in the way of His being number one. Are you putting things in the way of God being number one in your life? Now, that's a problem if you are. Now, God's also a very forgiving God. He's more forgiving than you'll ever be. All it takes is the voice of one to turn Him. He forgives. He forgets. He does this all the time. It only takes a couple people to make a huge difference. And I'm asking you to employ God's word so that you see His benefits, so that you see the greatness of all His abundance, but so that this ministry can run properly. and take the stress off of things. Because it causes a lot of stress. I'm just being honest with you guys. Why cover it up? You know, I guess for years I felt, well, maybe I should just cover it up. I read George Mueller's stuff. And he did some great things. And he never once asked for money. And boy, he was proud of that. But that's the way his ministry worked. It's not the way this one works. I wish it did, but it doesn't. And it's because we have a different generation of people. We have a different mindset of people. You guys have your own way of living, of spending, of keeping, of saving, of doing whatever you do with your money. It was altogether different way back when. You know, it used to be the church was the center of life. That's why they built such big, beautiful, gothic structures that actually had roofs on them so that they could meet. And everything happened in the church. You were practically born there. You practically died there. You were buried underneath it. And then everything you did in your life had something to do with it. Well, that's not the way it is today. Even though they try to make it that way, our society's changed. Back then, if you say, I want to build a church, everybody would say, let's go. Today, you'd be stressed to find 12 people. It's a whole different generation. It's a whole different society. It's a different way of life. We don't operate those same ways anymore. And all those changes took place around the turn of the 1900s, when that whole era of iron and technology and electricity and all of that hit. Everything changed. It was a mighty revolution. Well, now you deal with it today. So those are things I really like you to take to heart and to help relieve some of the stress that we are going through. We're all part of the same body, and when we're stressed, you're stressed. We're all members in particular. So let's alleviate it for everybody by doing the little things that God asks us to do on a regular basis. And Joe's going to send out the address where you can mail in your abundant sharing checks. And he'll put that out on the email. And please just start doing that. And don't be selfish, guys. Don't put yourself above the things of God. It'll never work right. It'll never work right. I guarantee you. Okay, well, let's get into another part of the word. I know you've got something to say to me. So let's get that over with. Let's get it out of your system. I am what the word of God says I am. I have what the word of God says I have. I will be what the word of God says I will be. I can do what the word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Sorry, I got distracted. Do you want to do it in Spanish?
Sure.
Okay. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré.
Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer.
Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. That's fabulous. I am shocked by how many false doctrines there are and the prevalence of ignorance surrounding the truth that Christ is now incorruptible. Yes, the devil tried to corrupt him in many, many ways. But he failed. Jesus Christ remained incorruptible until he died. And even then, God wouldn't allow him to remain in the grave and corrupt. God raised his son from the dead before he started corrupting. That's why 3 days and three nights in the grave, no more. And no less, we're so vitally important. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus Christ didn't corrupt physically, mentally, or spiritually. These are basic Christian truths that you must adhere to if you ever want to gain the upper hand in that battle for the spiritually renewed Christian. You've got to know this. Why? For Satan is forever trying to outwit you into thinking that your fate is sealed in the tomb of corruption, and that no matter what you do or say, you can't escape. If you ever want to win this raging mental battle, and I say mental because it takes place right up here in your mind, you must understand that Christ was, is, and never will be corrupted. Ever. When you have this Christ living within you, you have this spectacular truth of incorruption living, breathing, moving, having its way, thriving within you too. Because Christ is incorruptible, so too are you. I dedicate this teaching to the marvelous truth of the incorruptible Christian. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We never could have learned about incorruption had God's word not taught us. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality, which is the word for incorruption, to light through the gospel. Jesus Christ abolished death. He abolished it. Gone. And he brought to you eternal life and incorruption. Well, it had never been brought to light before. He's the one that did that. Well, let's learn about this, such a fantastic gift. Romans chapter 1. You know, you ask yourself, well, which came first, the cart or the horse? You know, or don't put the cart before the horse. There's always something that precedes something to make something happen. Christ could never have attained incorruption without an incorruptible God and Father, and neither could you. Romans chapter 1 verse 23, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. This verse in Romans tells us that God is incorruptible, but man's always trying to change him into corruption. The word incorruptible is translated from the Greek word apthartos, meaning undecaying in essence or continuance. Undecaying in essence or continuance. The King James Bible translators use several English words when translating this one little Greek word, but the meaning always stays the same. up until this time in history, corruption was A-OK. Men accepted it as completely normal, even when making their little gods. But God never decays. End of story, period, full stop. God never decays. Our God is incorruptible, undecaying in essence. That means his being. Or continuance. His continuance. That he's going to be there in eternity. Never decays. He's incorruptible, and spiritually, so are you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. First Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In verse 17, the word immortal comes from the same Greek word apthartos, and it means undecaying in essence and continuance. Once again, we learn from God's word that God himself is incorruptible. The Bible says whenever the Bible says something twice, it's established. So now you can believe it. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what your preachers and your friends and your family and your radio shows and whatever else say, it's established. God is incorruptible. His essence doesn't decay, and neither does his continuance. If God places God in Christ in you, then you too are incorruptible. Well, which part of you is incorruptible? That's pretty easy. Which part did God place in you when you got born again? Well, that would be your spirit. God in Christ in you. It's called Holy Spirit. So the answer is the spiritual part. And God in Christ in you is eternal life spirit. It's exactly that part which is incorruptible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 6 times Now, this teaching is kind of a word study teaching. There's different types of teachings, and I normally don't do the Greeky kind. Now, this is a Greeky kind. It's pretty light, though. Okay? But this particular Greek word, apthartos, the word used, meaning incorruptible, is used 6 times in the New Testament. 2 of these usages talk of future rewards. We just saw 2 of them that said God was incorruptible. But 2 of these talk of future rewards. And since you will be in eternity, no matter what the other false doctrines teach out there, you know, these people that go to these churches so faithfully, they believe they've got 1 foot in hell and 1 foot in heaven. And God only knows which way they're going to go. That is such a horrible way to live. I would never trust my spiritual life to somebody teaching something as devilish as that. Why did God even put the word incorruptible in the Bible if you could be corrupted and lose everything regarding his incorruptibility? It's amazing. Well, I think it's a good idea that you know exactly what's coming. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. The first of these two incorruptible rewards, and we're looking at the two verses regarding incorruptible rewards, is called an incorruptible crown. Do you see that in your Bible? But we an incorruptible, and it's talking about crown. There are actually five different crowns mentioned in the Bible. But since these crowns aren't the subject of the teaching today, I won't talk much about those others. I'm going to mention something. But I will talk about this one. This crown is called the incorruptible crown. And you earn it. You know, if I said, hey, would you like to earn $100? Well, sure. I mean, you get that, right? Would you like to earn an incorruptible crown? Yeah. You earn it by being temperate in all things. Temperate means exercise self-restraint. Remember I said before I started teaching, I'll mention it now, for those of you who didn't hear that, every generation has to reestablish liberty. Every generation has to fight for liberty anew. Well, every generation has to fight for God's word anew, too. That's just the way it is. If you kids don't take a stand on God's word, you're going to lose God's word. It's not just going to magically appear one day as a throne in your living room. You have to fight for it. You've got to study it. You've got to believe it. You've got to take it to heart. And when we understand that temperate means exercise self-restraint, your generation, you younger people, have got to learn that anew. What does it mean to exercise self-restraint? Well, for one thing, it means I don't go crazy in the party scene. For another thing, it means I don't go crazy in the sex scene. For another thing, it means I don't go crazy in the drug scene. And for another thing, it means I don't go crazy in the money scene. You kids have got to learn liberty and exercise self-restraint anew. For you adults, it's already probably too late. If you haven't learned it, well, you can try. And I recommend you do. But for you kids, Let's drive the stakes into the ground. You know why I say that? You know the old Indian dog soldier? They drove a stake in the ground and they had 10 foot of cord. And when they went into battle, that's as far away from that stake as they could get. And those soldiers, Indians, they staked themselves in the ground as the enemy was approaching. And so they fought with a ferociousness because they knew they couldn't leave. You stake yourself in the ground. Give yourself 10 feet, I guess. But stake yourself in the ground. And don't you move off of these principles. That's what your generation has to do. If you don't carry it forth, you're going to have nothing to teach your kids. Nothing. All things means all things. Everything. I mentioned drugs, sex, money, booze, partying, but it could be anything else, too. As you probably can guess, this refers to your lifestyle. Just how self-restraining are you? Or how temperate are you? God wants His Christians to be temperate in all things. For some, this is quite a battle. For others, not so intense. But one thing's for certain, each individual has to make up his or her own mind to practice self-restraint. If you practice self-restraint throughout your life, you will have a crown incorruptible awaiting you in eternity. I want you to be there with me, receiving our crown incorruptible. But I can't do this for you. I can only do my part. You have to do your part too. Your personal walk determines this. You want to ignore it? Ignore it. It's your business. You want to embrace it? Embrace it. It's your business. So, just how are you among your peers, your fellow workers, your friends, your family, and so on? How are you? A walk like this takes a personal decision. We don't know what this crown's going to look like, but we know there's going to be a crown. And we know that they must be absolutely fabulous. We don't know what we're going to do with them. But what we are going to do with them must be something absolutely fantastic. We don't know what they're going to look like on our heads. But we know that it must be an out-of-this-world sight. Only an incorruptible God with an incorruptible Son, Jesus Christ, could have thought up something as noble, righteous, and incorruptible as an incorruptible crown. Just for those who maintain self-restraint in all things. 1 Peter chapter 1. Man, this ought to get you a little excited. I mean, if I say you want to earn $100 every day for the next 3 years, you know, and you're used to earning maybe $5 a day, you go, yeah, I'd like that. You get excited. You get committed. You start planning things. You start prioritizing issues. You say, okay, I'm going to go for it. I'm getting that $100 a day. And then the next month I come to you and I say, you know, since you've been so faithful in these last 30 days, I'm going to give you $1,000 a day for the next 3 years. And you go, ha-ha. 30 days pass and you've been so faithful. Say, we need to talk. You know, since you've been so faithful for these last 60 days, I'm going to give you $10,000 a day for the next 3 years. And you go, oh! Oh! 90 days passes, but you get the story, right? You get the message. How much value do you put on an incorruptible crown? I hope it's a lot more than $100 a day. Or $1,000 a day. Or $10,000 a day. I hope it's a lot more than money. But it's your personal decision. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. An incorruptible what? Inheritance. You are reading that, right? Now, this isn't the incorruptible crown. That's different. Okay? If you follow my teachings, you know that heaven's just kind of like a stopover place for Christians. You're not going to spend eternity in heaven. I don't care what the churches teach. They don't know what they're talking about. I wish they just used the Bible, but they don't. Not when it comes to this. You know that no one, no Christian who's died is in heaven today. Not one. There's only God, Jesus Christ, and the 2/3 of the loyal angels. The 1/3 of them got kicked out with Satan. Lucifer. So contrary to popular belief, these things are going on, and I don't care what they say out on the pulpits, this is the truth. Heaven will be a very special place for us because there our inheritance awaits us. Our rewards awaits us. Inheritance, it's a reward type of thing. Our inheritance is called, among other things, incorruptible. Whatever it is, it's incorruptible. It doesn't decay in essence. Essence is substance. And it doesn't decay in continuance. It doesn't decay, period. Well, it sounds kind of like incorruptible crowns, doesn't it? But it's not. It's something totally different. It's not the same thing. You know, only an incorruptible God with an incorruptible Son, Jesus Christ, could even have thought up something as fantastic as an inheritance that doesn't decay. What is this inheritance? Well, the Bible doesn't say. But the Bible does teach that there are three types of inheritance: people, land, and money. Will our inheritance be one of those? I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see. But believe me, it'll be worth the wait. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. There are two verses which use the word incorruptible that reference the Spirit of God in Christ in us. The first is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Whenever you have God's word on your side, you're set. That's the side to be on. Okay? You're safe. You made it home. Everything's going to be okay. Well, I mentioned this earlier, but now here's the proof. When you're born again of God's Spirit, God does this by introducing an incorruptible. He creates an incorruptible seed in you. And when God places this within you, nothing man or spirit could do could ever change it. They can't remove it. They can't corrupt it. Its essence doesn't change. Its continuance doesn't change. You know, because it's incorruptible, it can't even get the measles. It just can't get sick. The devil can't go, I got your number, and I'm going to screw your eternity thing. You know what? He's a liar. And so all these people out there proclaiming to their audiences, folks, you got 1 foot in heaven and 1 foot in hell. Which way are you going to go? They're wrong. Because not even the devil can contaminate the perfection of God in Christ in you. Why? It's incorruptible. Its essence can't change. Its continuance can't change. These people that teach this stuff are helpless folks. They're absolutely helpless. They couldn't help a soul in trouble if their life depended on it. Why? Because their belief system is based on doctrines of devils. Our doctrine is based solely upon God's word, and we can prove it time after time after time. If you say, Jerry, I'm not sure about that. Gosh, are you really sure it's incorruptible? Say, well, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 and read it again. You want to read in Spanish? You want to read it in German? Chinese? I don't care. And you come back a year later, oh man, I don't know. I'm back to this one foot in hell and one foot in heaven thing again. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 and read it again. This time in Russian. Oh, says the same thing. Got my point? God's word never changes, but I'll tell you what, man's opinion sure does, especially of the Bible. Well, why are they still making God's people think that God's people are condemned and that God really doesn't love them? You've been so bad, so God doesn't love you anymore. I was in an interesting situation the other day. I have a friend that lost both parents in 1 week. And now she's starting to grieve. It's been a while. And she was just all torn up. And I said, you know, you need to get around people that love you to help you through this. I said, do you have anybody that loves you? And she has some. I said, well, if you don't have anybody close, you can always come to our fellowship. People who are predisposed to love and to care. But then I started thinking about it even more in depth, and I never said this to her. But maybe she doesn't come to fellowship because she feels unworthy. Because maybe she feels her lifestyle or her life or whatever is so bad that God wouldn't want her around anyway. I'm going to tell you something. God always wants you around. Because you're incorruptible. The part that he created in you. He doesn't care about the body part. That's fix or repair daily. But nothing touches spirit. And that's the part that carries us through eternity. You know something? Your best friend can't change that seed of God in Christ in you. I don't care how much you love your best friend. You know something? You can't change it either. You can't. You just quit trying. You can't. There's nothing you could do to change the essence and the continuance of your gift of Holy Spirit. Now, you ought to be real thankful for that. Because maybe if you could change it, you could slip up one day. That's what everybody else believes. Are you a slip-up kind of guy? A slip-up kind of gal? Well, we all slip up, but we never mess up incorruptible seed. Your preacher can't change that seed in you, and neither can your spouse. So you don't have to worry about me anymore. I just said that to Lynn. Your boss! Whoa, your boss can't change it, and neither can your parents. No matter how much they yell at you. You, with God's creation of this perfect seed of Christ in you, have now received and will forever retain the incorruptibility of God himself. Well, how do you like that? You got to say something. Can I have an amen? Or, okay, I like that. Is it too hard to believe? Well, I suggest you get busy changing that old mind of yours and start believing one of the most awesome, spectacular truths ever revealed to man. God's man, that is. 1 Peter chapter 3. But let it be the... Oh, verse 4. I better give you that one. Well, they didn't have verses back then. I don't have to use verse numbers, do I? I can just start reading. You can guess. No. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. This spirit that you have is not corruptible. Why is this spirit in you, or that is in you, so spectacular? Why is it so fantastic? Because it costs God everything. It costs God His Son. I know that if I had to give Jeremy's life up for something, or just let him die, it would kill me. If you had to give up one of your kids, it would kill you. You just would hate it. You wouldn't function. You'd stop functioning. I guarantee you. It'd take you years, and maybe you never would recover. But God let the devil abuse Jesus so severely that Jesus gave up his life. Jesus gave it up. The devil never took it. But the devil abused him. And God allowed this. And that's what it means when it says of great price in verse 4. God allowed his son to die on that tree some 2,000 years ago. But just when the devil thought he had the tomb of righteousness sealed, shut, and mankind forever condemned, Michael, one of God's archangels, came and rolled away the stone. And guess what happened next? God raised his son from among the dead. That's right. No more dead Jesus, but rather a risen Christ. No more dead Jesus. Boy, wouldn't they love us to keep believing that Jesus was still dead. Nope. A risen Christ, my friends. The price was paid, and now you have the benefits which are revealed and received. You have them. The spirit within you, Christ in you, is called the hidden man of the heart. Well, you can't see mine, can you? Not unless I act as a Christian. Not unless I manifest Christian things. It's the hidden man of the heart. And it's incorruptible. Oh, twice. It's established. That was the second time. It's meek and it's quiet. You can't see it, can you? Looks pretty meek, doesn't it? Yeah, it's quiet too. It's all there. It's all within me. It's all within you too. It's hidden. When God sees this creation within you every day, every night, all the time, He's constantly reminded of the great price of Christ. He never forgets it. Never. It's recorded in the Word so that you know He never forgets the great price. You want to earn $1 million a day for the next 3 years? That's not a great price. Somebody came to me and said, I'll give you $1 million a day for the next 3 years if you let me kill Jeremy at the end of the 3 years. Huh. No, that's not a great price. You couldn't pay me enough to let something like that happen. But God let the devil abuse Jesus to the point that Jesus said, okay, I'll die. Really something, isn't it? But then God raised him from the dead. It was a great price that God paid, so that you could have that hidden man of the heart. Well, if this is true, why would God want to punish you and cast you to hell with devils? You got to think about this. Don't sit there and be stupid. Why would God want to cast you to hell with devils after he paid that great price, letting his son die, and then raising him from the dead so that you could live? So that he could put you in hell with devils? Oh, come on! You've got to stop thinking on the false doctrines of devils and ignorant men and start thinking on the greatness of the creation of that incorruptible seed within you. When you are born again, you have a most remarkable, incorruptible addition to your life. You know, when we had our first kid, we had a new addition, and we had to go buy a new house and a new car because everything was too small. You've got a new addition in you. It's called incorruptibility. Well, why not start living like you do and live forever like you do? 1 Corinthians 15. You know, you only get me once a month. So I figured I better give you something. If you're going to build your body and get all manly looking, womanly looking, you know, muscular looking and all that, you can't tell me that 30 minutes three times a week is going to do it. But most people who want to, you know, improve their physique, okay, they go 30 minutes four times a week. But that's about it. And that's pushing it. They don't ever get what they want. I can't say that 1 hour a month is enough for you to really transform into a Bible-believing, a Bible-knowing, incorruptible, superabundant. All hell couldn't stop you from manifesting the things of Christ, Christian. 1 hour is not enough. Well, but that's what you get. If you want more, just let me know. But the final usage I'd like to reference teaches us about what happens when Jesus Christ returns to gather us together and take us away from this corrupt earth. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Me? Yes, you. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's a lifestyle, folks. Your human body is corruptible. Your Holy Spirit, Christ in you, is not corruptible. When Christ returns for us, his saints, we will all undergo a most remarkable change. Some people will still be alive at this time. Many Christians have already died. Now, if you think they're already in heaven, you won't even get this verse, okay? But they're in the grave. There's no man, woman, or child in heaven today save Jesus Christ. That's it. So many Christians have already died. Honestly, I hope I'm alive when this happens. How about you? The trumpet will sound. Then in a moment, the smallest particle of time, just a twinkle in the eye, the dead in Christ will get up from the graves. And the only way they could do that is because they're still there. Then those who are alive undergo their change. The dead will be raised into an incorruptible state, in essence and continuance. The alive ones, the mortal ones, will be made immortal. That's when death for us will be swallowed up in victory. I think you get the picture. Hope you do. All the nonsense you have to put up with in this life is worth it, since we already know what's going to happen with us. We are incorruptible Christians. Incorruptible. People who have been given incorruptible abundance from the incorruptible God Himself. He's given us an incorruptible life form, incorruptible gifts and rewards, and will give us an incorruptible eternity with incorruptible bodies. Now is the time to forsake man's teachings on corruption and misery. And now is the time to embrace an incorruptible lifestyle of self-restraint and hope. Life may seem very corruptible, but soon, ever so soon, will life take on a totally new and incorrupt meaning, because you are the incorruptible Christian. And you don't have to turn it, but I'm going to read you this verse. In Ephesians 6:24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And that word sincerity means incorruption. And that ought to open up a whole new vista of understanding for you. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruption. Folks, we are part of a much bigger thing than you ever imagined. And it's almost here. Love you.